So as you leave here today, I hope you feel lighter. leave the burdens, leave the cares, leave the things you're struggling with at the altar of our Lord today, and feel relieved, feel delivered, feel lighter by God's grace. You know, one of the great blessings about Naples, I think, is all the wildlife that's here, and especially the birds, so many incredibly beautiful birds. And there are so many things that you and I can learn from Mother Nature. You know, in Romans it says that the very creation manifests the reality of God. And that because of it, all of humanity knows of God's existence simply by being in touch with the created order. And so I want to begin my message today sharing with you lessons from Mother Nature and geese. Fact number one. As each goose flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the birds that follow. And by flying in a V formation, the flock adds far greater flying range than if each bird flew alone. The lesson for us is that people who share a common direction and a sense of community can get there quicker and easier because they are traveling on the thrust and work and energy of one another. How true it is. You thought those birds were just flying like that because they thought that was a nice thing to do. No, there's a reason why they fly that way. And there's a lesson for you and me in that is that as we can work together by God's grace and the Spirit's power, we will accomplish far more together than we could alone. Fact number two, when a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of flying alone. It quickly moves back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. The lesson for us is that if we have as much sense as a goose, let the hearer understand, we'll stay in formation with those headed where we are going, and we're willing to accept their help and to give help to others. So again, there's this lesson with the geese of synergy, this lesson of seeking to work together. We may not always agree, we may not always be heading in the same direction, but what's important is that overall there is unity and we are heading in the direction the Lord would have us go in. Another fact, the geese flying in formation honk to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. Yes, we could take that in a lot of different ways, couldn't we? So let me share the lesson so it will be helpful for all of us. We need to make sure that our honking is encouraging. In groups where there is encouragement, the production is much greater. The power of encouragement to stand by one's heart or core values and to encourage the heart or core values of another is the quality of the honking we seek. Another fact, when a goose gets sick, wounded, or shot, two other geese drop out of formation and follow it down to help and protect it. They stay with it until it dies or is able to fly again. Then they launch out with another formation or catch up with the flock. The lesson for all of us is if we have as much sense as geese, we will stand by each other in difficult times as well as when we are strong. Another fact, geese fly high in order to see far. This enables them to keep their eyes on the ultimate goal. The lesson for us is that when we are focused, we will achieve our goals much more faster. So when you hear them overhead or see them winging their way south in their distinctive V shape, remember the wisdom of geese. So there's a lot of wisdom for us in that, isn't there? A lot of wisdom in nature and just in what the geese do. And I believe there's wisdom for us as well in God's word today. As you know, over the past few weeks, I've been sharing with us and reflecting on the reality of vision and how God calls us to have vision in our lives and to be open to the vision of the Spirit guiding and directing our lives and being willing to step out in faith in that and to trust God that he will empower that vision and bring it to pass. And one of the parts of the vision that we've been reflecting on, especially since Pentecost, is that as the Holy Spirit comes upon his church, the Holy Spirit wants to form the church and to shape the church. Each one of us in 1 Peter talks about us as living stones. that God is using to build together into a spiritual house. And so one of the things I want to reflect with you today on is the reality that God has a vision for his people, his church, and that would be, it would be a place of love, a place that is growing love and learning about love in him. In our second lesson today in 1 Corinthians 13:13, we read, "Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." It's interesting, this particular chapter in Corinthians is actually bookend by two other chapters. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts and a variety of them, gifts of miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of hospitality. There are other places in Scripture that talk about the gifts of leadership, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists. Even in 1 Corinthians 14, we'll read then about other spiritual gifts, the gifts of prophecy and tongues. And so as Paul is teaching the church in Corinth about all of these spiritual gifts, which are also manifestations of God's love, and they are gifts that you and I will walk in to differing degrees as we're open to the Holy Spirit moving in our life, smack dab in the middle of those two very important chapters, Paul happens to write about love. It's almost as if the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was saying to the Corinthians, was saying to the entire church, and saying to you and me, as gifted as you may be spiritually, and the church in Corinth, by the way, was incredibly gifted. It was the charismatic church of the New Testament. This is the reason why Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, was because they were tremendously gifted by the Holy Spirit in so many myriad of spiritual gifts. And Paul wanted to teach them about those gifts, and he wants to teach us about those gifts as well. But in the center of this teaching, he speaks about love. And he speaks about the power of love. He notes that if God's love does not permeate everything that we do, be it healing or giving or sacrificing, what we do is worthless. Now, just so you know that I'm not paraphrasing or Father Joe's coming up with a story here, turn to your bulletins in 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to look at this text with me, because I think it's very important that we allow the words of Scripture to really soak into our soul and hear what Paul is saying to us. If I speak in the tongues of mortal and of angels but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Those are some pretty incredible spiritual gifts that Paul is talking about. Incredible gifts of healing, the gift of martyrdom, the gift of giving and sacrificing. These are spiritual gifts that are, if you will, in the hall of fame of what it means to be a Christian. These are mighty gifts of God. And Paul knows that. Paul, in his own life, will walk in many of these gifts, including the gift of martyrdom. And yet Paul says, if you do all of these incredibly great things and touch a lot of people's lives, if you are not doing it out of love, it's worthless. It means nothing. And so Paul, in sharing this with the Corinthians and sharing it with you and me, is sharing with us how important love is, that love needs to literally permeate what we do in the Spirit. The love that's talked about in 1 Corinthians 13 actually comes from the Greek word agape. Can you say that with me? Agape. Agape. Yeah, say that 10 times in the morning and you know you're awake. Agape. An agape is simply the unconditional love of God. That's what agape is. It has no strings attached. It is God's pure gift to you and me. Simply because he loves us, God agapes us, he gives it to us with no strings attached. God's love is relational in this way, and it seeks to build loving relationships that have defined parameters. You know, in our day and age, the reality is really, I think, ever since the 60s is, love is basically defined by the person who's expressing it. You know, I'm sure you've heard people say, well, we love each other, and you kind of try to find out what that means for them, and the person saying it's not really quite sure. I mean, there's this whole sense of, well, we just kind of love each other, and we kind of do what we want. I may be with her or him for a period of time, and if we don't end up staying together and we go somewhere else, then that's okay too. And love is very, in our day and age, it has a very self-centered definition. Love today is basically whatever the person says that it is. And when you and I begin to define love for ourselves and for others, it's very self-centered. I'm not saying you can't love somebody, and many of us do, but God defines love. God is love. God created love. God made love. God is love. God knows a lot about love. And so for you and I to begin to really understand what love is, we need to hear what God says to us about love. And love has some very definite parameters. Love looks like something. It's not just this benign thing that whatever you want to define it, it is. That's not what love is. Love really looks like something. What does it look like? Well, look back in Corinthians here. Toward the middle part of the verse here. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I don't know about you, but I have two immediate responses when I read that and when I listen to that. It's like, wow, love is really great. How awesome is that? And my other response is, boy, do I fall short of that. I mean, you know, when I read those verses about what love looks like, there are so many instances that I can think of in my life and in the lives of other people around me where they really don't measure up to love, what God defines love to look like. And actually, I will say to all of us here today, that's good news, because it speaks to us about the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, the more that you and I come to the point to realize that there is no way in our own human power that we can live out the kind of love that God is calling us to, the more that you and I are coming to reality, the more that you and I are beginning to see the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is you and I desperately need the Holy Spirit of God to begin to walk in this kind of love that is supernatural, that is incredible. It was so funny, at the end of the service last night at 5:00, there was this one woman who couldn't wait to talk to me. I could tell it was from my message. And she came right up to me and was going like this. She goes, "You know, you never, ever pray for patience." She goes, "You never, ever pray for patience." And obviously she had a personal experience in her life that she went on to share with me about how she prayed for patience and how it was just the most challenging experience after that she went through. You know, I pray for patience, and I end up in the fast lane behind the little old lady from Pasadena. That's all I can say, right? Or maybe you're praying for something else from God, and God brings a situation into your life where you have the opportunity to grow into that, and it's not always the most pleasant experience. But that's how we grow, isn't it? We need the Holy Spirit's power and grace and strength in our lives that we might grow in the gifts that God has for us, especially the gift of love. Steinke of the Alban Institute writes, "We are created for relationship, and love is the primary means God has of using us to reveal himself to another. The mutual conversation and consolation of people is health promoting." Did you hear that? And you know what? You and I know the truth of this, don't we? Loving relationships promote health. They do. It's the reason why you and I hang out with people that love us and we love them. Or at least there's a degree of care and concern for one another. We like to hang out with them. We like to talk to them. We like to interact with them because it's mutually beneficial. We get encouraged. We get lifted up. If we're down, we call them or we text them or we get together with them because there's a life-affirming, energizing connection that takes place. And all of you are beginning to smile and thinking about who that person is. And that's normal. But what about the person that you struggle with? What about the person that you hate? What about the person that you're angry with? You don't go connecting with them, right? You try, actually, sometimes you walk the other way. You see them coming, you just head the other way. You don't call them. They'd be the last person on earth that you'd interact with in a moment of need in your life. So you see, we already are living into this reality of how powerful love is, of how much we were created to be in loving relationships, and how we avoid relationships that are not loving. That's what we do. So what are some moves that you and I can make toward loving relationships? And again, I'm asking you, don't be thinking about the person who needs to change for you, all right? All right, God's going to take care of them. I'm talking to you right now. This message is specifically for you. How are you going to make a move toward more loving relationships? Well, one of the ways, let me suggest, is by taking this bulletin home with you this week and cut out 1 Corinthians 13, 1-13, and read this scripture this week and read it over and over and over again and begin to pray into it and begin to say, Holy Spirit, man, I really blew it in being patient today. I need your grace. Help me with this gift of patience or whatever it might be, kindness, self-control, getting angry. And begin to pray into these spiritual gifts and ask the Holy Spirit to help you with these. Cut this out. Put it in your Bible. Put it on your mirror and begin to read it. Begin to meditate upon it and begin to pray into it. Another thing that you and I can do is just, again, be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Be open to what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. You know, the most loving thing that you and I can do is to share the Spirit with one another, to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us and be a blessing to the people that are around us, whether it's praying for them when they're in need of healing, whether it's just lifting them up as you're walking along, listening to them, whatever love looks like for that person, the most wonderful thing you can do for them is to love them in the Spirit of God. Do that. Some other things that you and I can do. Talk to them. Listen to them. I'm doing some marriage counseling for a couple right now. You know the biggest thing that they need to do right now in their relationship with each other? I've given them homework. The homework is they have to actually sit down and listen to each other for 15 minutes a day. That's their homework. And they're having a hard time doing it. They're coming up with all kinds of excuses about why they can't do that. And they're at the edge of not being able to continue in their relationship with each other. So again, one of the things that can happen in a relationship is it can be healing. But guess what? You actually have to have a relationship. You actually have to relate to each other. You actually have to have a conversation. You actually have to listen to one another and be there with each other. And so let me just say, if 15 minutes is too long for you, start with 5 minutes. 5 minutes sitting down with each other and talking and building that relationship. But conversation is very important. That person that you're angry with, the person that you would never, ever connect with, the person that you are struggling with, might want to try forgiveness. Might want to try that area of just having mercy on them. You know what? They're a human being, just like you are. They blow it. Guess what? They're going to blow it again. And guess what? They're going to blow it again. They might do it with you two or three or four times. That's why Peter said, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said, the Lord said 70 times 7, and it's not just 490 times. Jesus was just using an image that, Peter, you know what? You're supposed to forgive your brother and sister however many times they offend you, just like I forgive you. Forgiveness. And if you're not able to forgive them, be honest about that, and just, again, I make it into a prayer, Lord, I'm just not able to forgive this person. Help. Can you help me here? Can you help me at least to begin to pray that I might be able to forgive them? Can you help me to begin to release my anger? Can you help me to begin to be open to your love and healing and your grace in me that I might move in your way? Can I be open to your personal healing in my life in a way that is greater than I can even begin to imagine? You know, you're right. I'm right. We can't forgive them. We'll never forgive them. How many times have I heard that? in my office. I will never forgive them. I believe that. I heard that. Heard it loud and clear. I think the birds outside heard it too. You will never forgive them. That's where he comes in. You're absolutely right. You will never forgive him or them or her. But through the cross of Jesus, through the mercy of the resurrected Christ, through his blood and his spirit upon your life, you are able to do things in him that, you're right, humanly you can never do or I can do. And that's where he comes in. That's the beauty of Jesus. It's the beauty of the spirit that we walk in. And so on this 4th of July weekend, as we celebrate the freedoms and the gifts that are uniquely ours in this country, as we celebrate the gift of being able to come into this place of worship and be able to worship God in spirit and truth and with freedom and with joy and with love, I want to leave us with this thought as we reflect upon those in closing who are serving our country not only here in the United States but all over the world, some of them at great personal risk to their lives. I want to spend a moment with you remembering them and giving thanks for the gift of their lives. And I want to say to you here today that the military is more than guns and bullets and shells and tanks and ships and planes. The military is made up of human beings, men and women, people that care and sacrifice and love just like you and I do. And I think sometimes even more deeply so because of the separations they go through. And with that in mind, I share with you a closing story about the power of love. General Lafayette helped George Washington when the 13 colonies were fighting for freedom. Long after the war, he visited America from his native France in 1824. Upon his visit, an old soldier asked, "Do you remember me?" "No," was Lafayette's response. "Do you remember the snows of Valley Forge?" "Oh, I will never forget those," Lafayette responded. One bitterly cold night, as you made your rounds, you came upon a thinly clad soldier who was slowly freezing to death. You took his gun, told him to go into your hut, and there he would find clothes, a blanket, and a fire. "After you warm yourself, bring the blanket to me, and I will keep guard while you're there." When the soldier returned, you cut the blanket into two pieces and gave half to the soldier. Tears began to run down the cheeks of the old soldier as he said, "General, here is that half blanket. I am the soldier whose life you saved that night." The power of love. The power of the human connection. The power of caring. The power of reaching out. And beloved of God, I say to you here today, God is offering each one of us a half blanket. He's offering us a half blanket in love and care. And may we always remember this day. Faith, hope, and love, these three abide. But the greatest of these is love. Amen.